Turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We're just going to read five verses today. Ephesians 5 verse 15 through 20. And I titled this, A Lifestyle Pleasing to Jesus. How many people want to please the Lord in their walk? Amen. I believe all of us do. Amen. So he says, See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, we just come before you, Lord, and we're thankful for what you have done in this service. God, we believe, Lord, the great and mighty things have been done already in this service, and you're not done yet, God. You're still moving, and the Holy Spirit is still present. Father, we submit ourselves to you for the unveiling, God, of the wisdom of your word, God. Open our hearts and our minds to receive, Lord, wisdom from heaven, God. Lord, sometimes our minds just get crowded with the junk of this world. And I pray, God, dig through the junk and bring your thoughts into our head today so that you are totally transforming us so that when we leave this building, we will look more like Jesus Christ than we've ever been before. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In chapter 5, we start off and he says in verse 2, he says, imitate Christ. I believe that that is the key verse for chapter 5. And I think everything else is telling us how do we imitate the Lord? How are we going to look when we imitate God? What's that look like? And so, the last week we spoke on what I consider a very difficult passage of scripture, not difficult to understand, just difficult to preach. And so it was a lot of negatives. It was don't do this, don't do that, don't live like this. And so we need to know that. But today he turns and he begins to focus more on positive characteristics. This is what, if you imitate Christ, this is what you're going to look like. This is some of the things that you will do. In Ephesians, chapters 1 through 3 are positional. It's what we believe. But chapters 4 through 6 is how do we walk that out? How do we live? How do we practice the will of God? And so I'm thankful that we're not preaching last week's sermon again. But the one thing that really stood out to me was this. We have an opportunity to present aroma into heaven. Your life. So in the Old Testament, they would burn incense. The Catholic Church still does that. But here's the real incense. You. You are the incense that goes up into the throne of heaven. And yeah, I mean, it's exciting to think that my life, the worship of my life brings a smell into heaven's glory. Is that not exciting? You know, some people don't think he even has his eye on you. Oh, you just need to stop that nonsense, right? The Lord's eye is upon the righteous and his ear is turned towards their prayer. I'm telling you, God hears you when you pray. He may not respond like you want him to respond because we want everything instantly. And God is patient. Whew. Oh, when I want him to be quick, it seems like he is slow. But I'm thankful he's always on time. He says that we should walk as children of light. Why? Because he is the light. Right? We are reflecting the light of Christ. Now, we're not even into the day scripture, so we're just trying to catch up from last week. But then this week, He says, I want you to walk circumspectly, cautiously. You know, every time I read this scripture, I think about a cat. You know, when a cat sees something at once, it walks around it. You can tell that little animal's fixing to die, right? Because it's just walking around thinking, I'll get you from one side or the other. You know, you may not think about it, but that's the way the Lord wants you to walk. Circumspectly. Observe. Do you know how many people just seem like, they don't give any thought whatsoever to where you're at. Do you know that Satan has a plan for your life? Satan wants to take you out. Satan wants to kill you. He wants to steal everything you've got. And I'm not talking about stuff. I'm talking about your joy. I'm talking about your peace. I'm talking about, you know what I think the number one thing Satan wants to steal? The Word of God. He wants to see if he steals the Word of God out of you, if he gets you to quit thinking his thoughts and start thinking your thoughts, all of a sudden you get depressed and Satan gets happy. Don't let him steal from you. Let's be wise. Even Jesus said when they said, teach us to pray, he said, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. The Lord was trying to send us a message. Satan wants to take you out. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Thankful, thankful, thankful. So we need to be intentional with our thoughts and words. We need to wake up. Wake up. And know, whether you know it or not, you're in a battle. And payday is pretty important. Will I win this battle? Will I defeat the enemy? Will I hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Amen. And then he goes on, he says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. How many people know that last line is right? 2,000 years ago, Paul said, the days are evil. And Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. But I'm telling you, if it was evil 2,000 years ago, it ain't got better. I mean, the days are evil. Now, the first time I ever heard this phrase, redeeming the time, was with this man over here was speeding, and a cop pulled him over. And the cop said, what are you doing? He said, I'm just trying to redeem the time. He was late for an appointment. And that, I just want to say, that is not what this verse means, okay? That is definitely carnalizing the Word of God. Okay, here's what the Lord just told me over here. Now listen to this, because this is the Word of the Lord. Jesus redeems people, but we are to redeem the time. Do you know that Jesus is coming back one day? Do you know what happens before he comes back? We're out of here. You know why? Because we are holding back a lot of evil. Who, us? The Holy Spirit in the church is holding back what Satan really wants to do in this time. But I'm telling you, when we're out of here, they'll see the hand of Satan. And I'm so thankful we're not going to see that. But we are to redeem the time. The church was never supposed to just stay in its four walls. The church has always been called to change the society in which it lives. Now what's happened is we have retreated. The body of Christ has retreated into its four walls, and in doing so, we have allowed Satan to take control of our society. You may not see it that way. I don't see it any other way. The more we have backed up, the more Satan has pushed in. Well, you don't need to pray in school. I got news for him. As long as teachers give tests, there'll be prayer in schools. Right? It didn't matter how well I thought I knew the subject, I was praying, oh Jesus, help me with this test. He says that we should pray for wisdom. We should ask the Lord, you know, I believe before you ever put your feet on the floor in the morning, you ought to be asking Jesus for his wisdom. God, guide me through this day. I need your help. He says, don't be unwise. Don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you know, oftentimes many believers pray about this a lot. Lord, what is your will to my life? And I can't tell you specifically what the will of the Lord is for your life. You have to get with him and he will reveal that to you. But there are several things that the Lord does tell us. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks to God. Seems like that's been mentioned already. For this is the will of God. For every believer in here, our life should reflect thanksgiving. Amen. At least we have one or two thankful people. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says our sanctification, that we should abstain from sexual immorality. You know, after I preached last week, I preached hard and I left. You know, I always start to leave thinking, oh Lord, did I do what you asked me to do? And one person told my wife, who wasn't even here that day, but she watched us online, and she said, Treva, you know, there's a lot of Christians that don't read the Word of God. That's an indictment on the body of Christ. But in other words, what she was saying is what Eric preached last Sunday, a lot of people did not know. They didn't see the world tells you quite the opposite. The world tells you sexual, just be what you want to be, do what you want to do. And I'll just add to that. You go ahead and do that and you're going to head straight to hell. Can't, your life is not your own. So Jesus told you how to live. Sexual immorality is always wrong. Whether you're 15 or whether you're 85. So. Okay. So how do we do what he's asking us to do? There's two things that help me more than anything. One is the Word of God. Man, you got to know this. Number two is walking in the Spirit. You have got to form a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then he will reveal to you the time, what's going on. There's some things that are spiritual that you can't understand. But he knows. Romans chapter 8, he says, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the very first thing we see is Jesus did not come to condemn you. So if it's not Jesus, anybody ever suffer condemnation? One person, well, I'll just go over here and preach to Christy for a little while. Come on. If it's not from God, it's from the enemy. So even in a hard sermon, if you leave condemned, you've not heard the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God, even if he tells you, stop this, don't do that, it's not because he's trying to condemn you. He's trying to keep you out of trouble. God is not a killjoy. But that's what the world tells you. But that's exactly what Satan told Eve. God's not a giver. He's trying to withhold from you. It's the lie that goes all the way back. I'm telling you, whatever he tells you is truth and brings joy to your life, not defeat. So there's no condemnation. For the law of the Spirit of life, don't you love that? You ever call him that? Spirit of life. In Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, you were on your way. You were killing yourself with sin. And Satan was saying, yeah, baby, come on, come on. I got something for you, and it's called death. Oh, I'm going to package it so nice, but I'm going to kill and destroy you. And we were like, okay, that sounds pretty good. But he says, I've delivered you from that. For what the law could not do. Hallelujah. It was weak. It was weak through the flesh. God did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, right? Look like us on account of sin. He condemned people? No. He condemned sin, not people. He loves people. He redeems people. He condemned the thing that was killing us. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'm getting out of breath. For those who live according to the flesh, that's who you used to be. But it takes a while. When you get saved, it takes a while to switch gears so that you quit living according to the flesh. But we begin to set, and that's what this scripture is all about that I'm preaching today. We're telling you, set your mind on the things of God, not on the flesh. Because those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You want to please God? Then you're going to have to ask him. Do my ways please you, Lord? Am I living just to please myself? A lot of Christians just live to please themselves. It's not God's will. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Are you born again? Yes. If you're born again, the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Listen to the verse 11. But if the Spirit of him, Jesus, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, and he does, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Can I say it another way? The Spirit that brought Jesus out of the grave. We call it the resurrection Spirit of God. The power of God that brought him out of the grave now lives in you. Don't ever claim that you can't. Because you can. Are you following me? Well, I just can't do that. Who do you think you are? Do you not realize you are a son of God? Do you not realize that the power of Jesus is in you? Let me read just one more verse. Maybe two. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God is on your side. Now, you can leave depressed if you want to leave depressed. You can leave defeated if you want to leave defeated. But you're going to do it over the blood of Christ. Because that's not His will for you. The Lord is trying to breathe hope into this congregation that you can. So quit claiming disease. It's not your disease. It's not your death. It's the devil's, and there's diabetes working in my body, but you'll never hear me say, my diabetes. It's not mine. I think words are extremely important. I love the fact that we are overcomers in Christ. Now he goes one time, and he goes just a little bit into the negative. This is all very positive, but verse 18, he says, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation. And I looked that word up. It's a wasteful or luxurious lifestyle. Don't be drunk with wine. So the question many people will be asking themselves, well, then how much can I drink? How much can I drink and still be sober? Wrong question. Comes from a wrong spot. You need to ask yourself, how holy can I be? I do not believe that drinking a glass of wine will send you to hell. But it may make you act like you've already been there. Alcohol impairs your ability to think. Right? Alcohol is a depressant. He just told you to think like he thinks, to think wisely. And so he throws this one caveat in there to say, okay, maybe you're not understanding everything, but you're not going to get where I want you to get if you keep getting drunk. My father was a drunk. I don't see anything good about it whatsoever. I am a teetotaler. I think we call it spirits for the right reason. Because I think it is demonic. And I would pray, it would be my prayer for every person in this room, that you never open the door to alcohol. Because I've never seen anything good that happens when someone starts drinking. And for those of you that have had a problem, I'm just clearing my throat, don't read into that. I'm going to say something, you're going to get a little mad at me. But that's okay. Stay the hell away from it. There's nothing good. Straight from the pit. Now you say, but they drank alcohol in the New Testament. Jesus created wine. He did. I'm not getting into that. But it wasn't exactly what we have today. And they cut it. They cut it. And even in Psalms or Proverbs, one of them, it says, be careful when it begins to sparkle. What's that mean? When it begins to ferment. Okay. This is not going to be a... But if you are walking in the Holy Spirit, some characteristics are going to come out of you. And the characteristic that he talks about is worship. You're going to find that you become a worshiper. Now, it doesn't have to look like everybody else, but you're going to worship the Lord. There's something inside of you that when you walk in the Spirit, when you begin to imitate Christ, this worship is going to start boiling out of you. And he says in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, I don't think it matters that you define those. I'm going to define spiritual songs a little bit. But we had a pastor, one time in our church when we were growing up. Treva and I wasn't even married when he was at our church. And it was Brother Daryl Ramsey, loved this guy. And I led worship at that time, and he would sing right behind me, and he couldn't sing. I mean, he couldn't sing on tune anyway. He had an old gruff, raspy voice, and I never made it quite to the key that we were singing in. But I loved to hear him sing. It came from a pure spot in his heart. It was so worshipful. It was so joyful. I've heard people that had beautiful voices that never got to the level that Brother Daryl sang out of that old raspy voice. I'm telling you, it can come from this place and not sound pretty, but something about it, when it cuts through the heavens, it becomes beautiful to the ears of God. So don't let... don't let those lies from the enemy shut you down. Now, we're not going to let you sing specials. I got to... we ain't doing that. Praise God. Some people that can't sing just write hymns or write poems, don't they? Okay, so he says the Psalms in the New Testament, the Psalms were the songs that they sang, and hymns and spiritual songs. What in the world is a spiritual? I thought they were all spiritual songs. A spiritual song is a song that's being written as you let it out of your mouth. You're going to be singing songs, and Treva's going to be leading, or somebody else on the radio, and you're going to hear yourself sing things that not the same words that he's singing. And that's a spiritual song. And it comes out of a spot in your heart that is rejoicing over what God has done for you. Right? I cannot sing, I exalt thee, every word like Treva sings. Because when I start lifting him up, there's going to be words that just come from the depth of who I am. Buddy, when I begin to reflect on the goodness of God and what he's done for my life, you talk about redemption. He redeemed me from the pit, not the same pit that he got you out of. But we're all redeemed from the pit of sin. And I'm so thankful I'm not perfect. I'm really close. No. God doesn't look for perfection. God looks for us to be pleasing to him. Is he number one in your life? Nothing else matters really in life other than pleasing Jesus. Just live your life pleasing to the Lord. As you worship, you'll hear that. And then the last thing he'll say is giving thanks. Worship and giving thanks always comes like this. And if your worship is stale, it's because you're not in the right position. Get your heart right with God, and your worship comes right along. But if your worship is, if you hear people worshiping beside you and you think, I wish I could worship like them. Well, first of all, don't compare yourself to other people. God's not called you to be that person. He called you to be you. But it's entirely possible. Well, let me just read this verse. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs." The richer the word of God is in your heart, the sweeter the praise that comes out of your mouth. I believe that is the Holy Ghost right there. That's pretty good. Did you write that down? I couldn't say it again. I forgot it already. You got to get in the Word. When you get in the Word, you realize that if David could slay a giant, so can you. I love the month of June because Father's Day is in June. I don't love Father's Day because my kids will call me. I love Father's Day because I get to preach to the men of this church. And I love it. And I will start way before the day. Because I think men need to hear that God wants to create in you something powerful. The world downplays daddies. Tells us that we're not important and our words don't matter. And I got news for you. Most of the problems that we're having in America right now are from fatherlessness. We need strong daddies. We need strong families. And when you get strong families, you'll have a strong church. Right? All right. Would you stand with me? I have three questions for you. First question, are you born again?
Yes.
Amen. Wasn't expecting you to answer it out loud, but that's okay. When I want you to talk, you don't talk. When I don't want you to talk, you talk. We're born again. Walking in the Spirit.
Yes.
Have you been filled with the Spirit?
Yes.
Oh, good answer. Am I a thankful person? Now, let me say one more thing about Thanksgiving. It's not just to God. If you are thankful, you'll be thankful to the waitress. You'll be thankful across the board. And no longer will you be looking for people that's cheating you or not treating you with respect. You'll be looking to be thankful because it's who we are. Maybe one of those things the Spirit of God has convicted you a bit on. So as we pray, I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, I don't think I've been in your word enough. I don't think I'm worshiping enough. I don't think maybe, God, that I'm thankful enough. This is the will of God, that you be a person of thanksgiving. I'm going to pray. But it's imperative that you pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for your family. I love that song. Speak Jesus over them. Father God, I come before you right now, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that's been in this house and is in this house. I thank you, Lord, that you've done great and mighty things in this place. I thank you for the word, Lord, that you've caused us to share today. Lord, that we are to imitate Christ. We are to redeem the time. Paris, Tennessee should change because Bridge of Hope is in here. Lord, because the churches of God are alive and well in Paris, Tennessee, this city, this county will change to the glory of God. And we're thankful, Father, that we're stepping out of our doors and we are going to redeem the time in which we live. And this city will see the effects of a powerful church of God. God, I pray for those that maybe are evaluating their life right now. And maybe they're feeling, Lord, like they're coming up short in an area. God, we know and we've talked about it's not your will to condemn, but it is your will to convict. So Father, where we will not get under condemnation, we will listen to the Spirit of God. If he tells us there's something that we need to get out of our heart. So Father, if anyone under the sound of my voice, even those that are listening online, if they are walking in unforgiveness, that is not your will. That is stopping the flow of God in our life. And I pray, God, right now, Lord, that we would release those who have hurt us and we would walk in forgiveness. God, I pray for those, Lord, to be thankful, God. Let a spirit of thanksgiving flow out of our hearts, and let the spirit of worship and praise come out of us as a sweet-smelling aroma to you. Lord, let the incense of worship come before your throne. Father, I'm so thankful for what you've done for me. And I pray that every person in this place is saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you saved my soul and you have put my feet on the solid rock. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are still at work in me. You're still maturing me. And even in the difficult situations of life, Lord, you're doing something in my life. God, for those that believe that your hand is not upon them, that your eye is not on them, I pray right now, Lord, speak to that person. Let them hear the sound of your voice so they would know that you know them. You've not rejected them. Listen to me. And you have not blasphemed the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes Satan wants to tell us that we blaspheme the Holy Spirit and so you cannot be saved. I got news for you, folks. You wouldn't be in the house of God if you'd blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You would want no part of him. So when the devil tells you that lie, you say, you're a liar, get out of here. Thank you, Father, for addressing things in our heart. May we be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. What are you playing? Yeah, let's can we worship one more time together? We got a few minutes. And,
worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all.
Father, we worship you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. Brother Denny.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I wanted to share real quick before we close with the blessing. This is the book that our Sunday school is using, Life Lessons in the Psalms. In the class that we had today, there was a comment in here that I feel like God wants me to share with us because it was so good in Sunday school, and it goes right along with the message. But he says, every law which God has given has been given for our benefit. If a person breaks it, he's not only rebelling against God, he is hurting himself. To ask God to revise his commandments would be to ask him to stop loving man. So anytime, like you say, anytime that you feel condemnation from the word of God, just know that it's not him condemning you. God loves you. And he gives his commandments because he loves you. So I just want to encourage you with that. Let's see, you did announcements already. I can't remember anything we need to. Street Reach. Don't forget Street Reach this Saturday. If you've never done one, just try it once. If you can walk and carry a Walmart bag, you can do it. You know, that's all that's required, okay? But, we go in groups and you get to watch other people do it. It's great. It's wonderful. A great time of fellowship with each other. We get to share the gospel. We get to love on people. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. If you've never done it, please, please give it a shot. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.